You're listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, orlandocitychurch.org. Today, lead pastor Eugene Smith will start out our new series called Humbug to Hallelujah. We all have chains that hinder or blind us from the truth, but God wants to release us from those chains today. Our scripture text comes from Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Today's message is entitled, Breaking the Christmas Chains.
You know, when I was a little boy, I loved Christmas, and Christmas was a very special time in my family because my grandparents would make the trip from California. And in my family, we believed in Santa Claus, and that's why I have so many problems in my life. No, just kid. But we believed in Santa Claus as little kids, and I had four sisters, and I was the oldest brother. And sometimes I wouldn't always be very nice to my sisters. As a matter of fact, I would hold them hostage about Christmas. Because, like, let's say I wanted to watch Gilligan's Island, and they wanted to watch Leave It to Beaver or Love Boat or whatever they wanted to watch. And I would say to them, I'd say, well, if you don't let me watch it, I'm going to tell Mom that you did that. And then she's going to call Santa, and guess what? You're not going to get anything for Christmas. I mean, I was bad. And what I've discovered about life is that we tend to take inventory of our own personal life. We tend to take inventory of our own personal life. And what tends to happen in our life is we have like a little T-bar. We make a little T-bar kind of in our mind, and we make a line, and these are the good things we do, and here's some bad things that we do, but, you know, they're not that bad, but they're kind of bad, but sometimes they're really bad. Sometimes we're really, really bad, but we do this over here kind of, we do this good thing over here because we just want to kind of weigh out, you know? So if we do a little more good than we do bad, then, you know, we're going to be okay. We're going to try to do good. We're going to try to be good. And what I've discovered about my life is that if we have this kind of mindset about life, the chains that we forge in our life, link by link, many times we are even completely blind, like Scrooge was completely blind. It took a ghost from Christmas past, his former business partner, to come back and to tell him that the business of life, his business of life was about people. His business of life was serving others. And so many times the chains that wrap themselves around our mind and around our life and keep us and block us and stop us from becoming what God has created us to be, so many times they're because our focus is on the wrong thing. Our focus is on ourself. Our focus is on making me happy. And our culture, which is driven about me. It's all about me, about making me happy and about my feelings, doesn't allow room for us to break those chains off in a way that honors God. Doesn't allow for us to live the life that Christ has called us to, a life of freedom. You see, there lays before you life and death, and the choice is yours. And this morning, I'm going to answer the question, how we can break the chains, the Christmas chains that we have forged in this life. You see, the reality is, and the fact is that every single person here has chains, has at least one chain. I have a great big chain this morning because I got lots of chains that have wrapped themselves around my life. Now, you got a really small chain because most of you are pretty good here, but I need a big chain. I needed a big chain today. You know, Jesus came to break the chains of your life. But we tend to make excuses. We tend to kind of give ourselves a pass on some areas of weakness in our life. Well, I'm not as bad as that person, or I don't do that, or, you know, I've always been this way, and I just can't help it. And we find ourselves many times stuck in this place, and Paul the Apostle described it so well in Romans chapter 7, where he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this bondage or chain of death? We experience that. Every person here has experienced it. There's not a person here. You see, every single person has a weakness, has a propensity, has a problem, has an issue that tends to be reoccurring in your life. And if we don't get the right perspective on it, if we don't see with the eye of faith who Jesus really is, we will live our lives wrapped up in chains. And we will go to our grave unfulfilled. We will go to our grave wishing we would have done this. And see, and I've made a decision in my life. I still have chains that the Lord is taking off, because there's still stuff in my life I don't even realize that's there. Paul the Apostle, when he got to the end of his life, he said, hey guys, listen, not that I have arrived, but I'm pressing on. You see, this morning we are going to press into God. We're going to press into God with what the Holy Spirit speaks to us and he challenges with us with in our life today. You see, the Lord is speaking to hearts. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to me today. But like this man, Ebenezer Scrooge, we have to have a reality check. We have to first realize that we have chains. I want you to read this passage with me found in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. We're going to read this out loud together. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that is one of the most powerful words in the Bible. All your sins, all your mistakes, all your wrong thoughts, ideologies, practices, addictions, issues. He's got some issues. Whatever they are, he piled them on Jesus, because we've all wandered. We've all gone astray. You see, Marley said these words, I wear the chains I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it up my own free will, and of my own free will, I wore it. You see, the message this morning, the message for you today, when you leave this place, there are no more excuses. There's a powerful story. It's mentioned in all three Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the version that we're going to read. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there with me. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want you to see a man who was literally bound. Now, most of us in this room, we've never been at this condition, or we've never been to this place before. And the challenge sometimes when we read stories like this is we say, well, that's not me. My condition's not that bad. My chain isn't that bad. I'm not that bad. But this guy had some real problems. He was tormented. His mind was tormented. His body was tormented. Nobody liked him. I mean, he had a lot. If it wasn't for bad luck, this guy wouldn't have had any luck at all. Life was completely against him. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And the Bible says, and they came to the other side of the sea. Who is they? This is Jesus and his disciples. To the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. I mean, this guy had some issues. He had some problems. He had some huge chains in his life. But you know what I've discovered is that, man, it doesn't take me being this tripped up or this messed up in life to have big chains, to have big problems. I just begin to go down a list of things that either I've dealt with or people that I know have dealt with. Now, one of the challenges when you deal with a list like this is that you'll say, well, I'm not in that list, or, you know, I don't have that, or that's, I'm not even on that list. I must be really good. So listen, this isn't an all-inclusive list, but these are things that are familiar to the human experience. You see, the chains that bind you, the chains that keep you are the limitation that you have forged link by link. You see, you got to take personal responsibility. You got to take personal responsibility. It's got to happen. You got to take responsibility for your own life. When I was a 20-year-old man, a 19-year-old young man, all my problems were because of my father. I wanted to blame my dad. Everything was my dad's fault. My dad did this to me. My dad did that to me. Well, you know what I never stopped to think about? All the times that my dad put food in my mouth when he didn't have any money. All the times that my dad made sure that I had shoes on my feet when he didn't have shoes to put on his feet. All the times that my dad met the needs in my life, and I never stopped to think about that. I just thought about the problems. And folks, there were problems in our home. There were big problems. But sometimes we get so focused on what other people have done to us that we can't realize or see that the fact is the responsibility and the choice to choose is up to us. I don't know what happened to this man. I don't know how he got in this condition. But his condition was so bad that no one liked him. His family didn't like him anymore. His friends didn't like him anymore. I mean, they literally couldn't do anything with him. My wife's sister sits in an institution in the state of Utah right now. Her mind is completely gone. It is bizarre. It's bizarre to see what's happened to this person who allowed a little chain of wrong belief about God bring her to a place of total devastation. Now, the doctors are diagnostic bipolar, schizophrenia, whatever kind of stuff that they label it. But I'm telling you, she made some choices. She wasn't born that way. Since she had some bad things, she had some terrible things happen to her. But when the truth was presented to her, she did not do what we're going to see this man did. So I'm going to think about some of the chains that bind us. How about depression? You know, that feeling of self-loathing that you get when you make a mistake or you blow it, where you're kind of beating yourself up, and I can't believe I did that, and why you start to feel really bad about yourself, and I'm so dumb, and that's depression. And I can look out across the room many times, and I can pick out people who are struggling with depression. Now, there's nobody here struggling with depression, but there are other times that I've looked out across the room, and I could see it. I saw it in last service. I saw it really clearly. I saw it on a young person's face. I could just see that they were struggling internally. You got this internal angst going on. How about anger? See, one of the chains in my life, one of the chains that I have to deal with is anger. I'm type A personality. I'm driven to grow. I want to succeed. And if things block my way, and people that work with me, they've experienced it. And I am so grateful for the staff and the team that has put up with me. But I ask God, Lord, take that chain from my life. Now, we just took a trip to South Carolina this week with my two boys in the back seat. And I can tell you that this chain got a little tighter. Just a little bit tighter. Now, if you're a parent, you know the challenges of being a parent. And I love my boys, and they're my prized possession, and I treasure them, and I would do anything for them. But they can really tick me off. Just a fact. God's growing grace in me. Because I want the best for them. Maybe you're an easily angered person. I pulled in the gas station the other day, and I heard this car come pulling into the island. And the guy that was pumping gas, he's a big old white cracker boy, and he looks over. He goes, hey, slow down. And bop, man, these two young guys, they jump up out of the car, and they're like this and that and telling him, and he's saying this to them. And I'm like, uh-oh, we got a problem here. And Keenan's sitting there, and everybody stops. I mean, and it was at that Walmart one up here at Reinhardt, so like everybody hears this. It's a Friday night. It's packed. And, I mean, everybody's like looking over there to see what's going to happen next. I mean, people are easily angered, pulling the gun out and popping people, whatever. I mean, just crazy. Anger, short fuse, blow off the candle quickly. Gossip, saying things. You know what? You don't even have to say anything to gossip about somebody. You can just roll your eyes. Somebody's talking to you about somebody, and all of a sudden you roll your eyes. Oh, brother. And you just left that person with a negative connotation. And a negative opinion about a person that they don't even necessarily know. I've seen it happen many times. People talk about a preacher. People talk about a leader. People talk about a pastor, whatever. And roll their eyes. I can't believe it. Gossip. Bad report. A true report that is said in a way that brings a disparaging look upon that individual. Church is full of it. We're the best gossipers in the world because we couch them in prayer requests. Come on. Anxiety, poverty mindsets. You see, you don't have to be a poor man to have poverty. You don't have to have no money in the bank to have a poverty mindset. I saw this firsthand in my life. My father's mother was poor. She wasn't just poor naturally. She was poor naturally, but she had a poverty mindset. I remember as a young boy, I went over to her house, and I walked into the kitchen, and the moment you walked into the kitchen, you just saw stuff. And I don't mean a little bit of stuff. I mean a lot of stuff. It was packed. The kitchen was packed with boxes that I thought were unpacked boxes. You know, she'd moved from California, whatever. I thought they were unpacked boxes. I walked into the living room. There literally was not a place to sit down in the living room because it was full of stuff. Boxes. And I kept thinking, well, maybe, you know, it's like stuff that she hasn't unpacked yet. But then I kind of forged my way down the hallway, and there was a little break there where the bathroom door was. And then I went into the bedroom, and it was full of stuff. There was a little place there for the bed, but all around it was just stuff, boxes and boxes of stuff. My grandmother had a poverty mindset. And one of the ways that I discovered that is because she couldn't throw anything away. And she collected junk and stuff. One day, I was looking at a box, and it said toilet paper on the side of the box. And I figured, well, you know, it was like toilet, you know, it was like stuff that, you know, you put your stuff when you move. You put your stuff in a box, and it might say toilet paper, but inside's pot and pans, you know. No, it was toilet paper. Because there was a sale down at a Safeway or Publix or whatever you got down there. There was a Safeway at the grocery store. And she didn't buy just like three or four rolls of toilet paper. She bought 15 boxes of toilet paper. You know what? My grandmother died. My daddy got a great big dumpster. My mom and a couple of his sisters, they went to her house, and they literally threw everything out. It was junk. It was stuff. Poverty. A negative outlook. Pessimistic. Nothing's ever worked out for me. It ain't going to work out. Always looking at the bottom side of life. There's actually a website out there. And I think it's called pessimistic.com. If you guys love it. And you know how they got those like motivational sayings? So you guys, the real positive motivational sayings. They got the athlete running for victory. Well, this one is the same kind of design with the same pictures, but I mean on the other side, and it is actually pretty funny. But guy's got an, and he's making a lot of money. Oh, it's called despair.com. You can check it out for yourself. Despair.com, and it's pretty funny. But there's something in us that, you know, we want to see the negative. We want to believe the bad report. We want to believe that Tiger Woods' wife whacked him with the golf club on Friday night. Right? Come on. Think about it. Full of fear. I mean, come on. We're starting to nail some things. We're starting to nail some things that hit us. Addictions. All kinds of addictions. Little blue pills, purple pills, bags of stuff, white stuff and green stuff and yellow stuff. We work with Teen Challenge very closely. Jeff Jones, the director, told me that the number one problem that they have today with men entering into drug rehab at Teen Challenge, it used to be crack, and before that it was cocaine and drink and pot and all that stuff. He goes, now it's prescription pills. Prescription pills. They're rampant in our culture. Everybody takes a little blue pill or whatever color pill they take, and because it's legal, it's okay. And all of a sudden we found ourselves bound up with chains. We don't talk about gluttony in the church because we serve food at every function, but we have a problem with overeating. $147 billion a year was spent because of obesity last year in America. It's a problem. We're full of hatred. We don't like people because of their color, because of their look, because they're not in the right club, or the right car, or the right clothes. We got all these kinds of weird ideas, and it causes us to hate other people. We become critical, judgmental. Full of lust. We could just nail on each one of these, but the problem really, each of these, is they just become chains because they're wrong thinking, wrong understanding who God is and how he created you to be free from the bondage of chains and of sin. And they keep us all bound up. And sometimes we're like Ebenezer Scrooge. We don't even know it. We're just living life. We're oblivious to it. But other times we do know it. We know we got a problem. We know that we got an issue. You see, this man had a problem. And if we fail to deal with our chains, the results here on earth will be bad. But ultimately, it'll be terrible. If you don't deal with it, if you don't acknowledge it, admit it, and do what this man did. You see, because you can break the chains that you forged in your life today. You can break them. the possibility and the potential is here today because the presence of God, the presence of God is in this room. He's your Savior. But not only does He forgive you of your sins, folks, He delivers you. He's your salvation. He's your hope. We don't even know what that word means. I was watching the Cowboys, and whoever they played, they whipped the snot out of the Packers, or no, out of the Lions. Whipped the snot out of the Lions. And they had the great big Salvation Army emblem up there. And if you know anything about the Salvation Army, man, those guys, William and Catherine Booth, were the founders, and they were holiness people, and they preached salvation. They would stand on the street corners of London in the 1800s, and they would blow the horns and bang the trumpets, and they wore their little funny uniforms, and he'd preach, and people would get saved, and he would minister to the poor and to the outcasts, and he ministered a gospel that had power. And then here I'm watching whatever Daugherty's name is, and I'm watching Daugherty, Chris Daugherty, and the Dallas Cowgirls. Like, boy, don't look, turn your head. Dallas Cowboys are up there, they're singing, and they got a great big Salvation Army. I'm thinking, man, William Booth is rolling over in his grave right now. That's the farthest thing from the message of hope on the planet. But we're in such bondage and chains that we can't even see the truth any longer. This man had some problems, folks. And his problems look to be bigger than any of us in this room because we're still in our right mind. My wife's sister, she's not in her right mind. You talk to her on the phone, you're like, that girl is weird. I mean, she is weird. That's all I can tell you. She's weird. She's got issues. And she's got so many issues that even the state thinks that she's weird, and so they got to lock her up. They got to lock her up, and they sedate her, and they give her all these medications and try to keep her under control because she does weird stuff to herself and other people. You can label it whatever you want, but we know that there's something that's driving it. You see, this man was torn up, and maybe you're torn up today with the chain that's kept you bound. You see, I want you to see what this man did. Look at verse number 6. Look what this man did. And the Bible says that this man ran to Jesus. Look at it. He ran to Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. You know, I've always been this way. I don't even know that I got that chain. I didn't even know that until you said it. Sometimes we just really like the chain. We just like it. We kind of, it's our comfort. It's our comfort. Like a cup of coffee or a cigarette or whatever kind of the comfort, opening the refrigerator door when you're not hungry just to see what's inside of it because you're looking for comfort. See, that's a chain. You know, and we don't talk a lot about those, but the reality is today there are mindsets and limitations. I remember as a young man feeling like I couldn't go to university or college because literally, man, I didn't do very well in high school. I was one of those guys that they passed on just to get rid of me. The teacher didn't want me coming back next year. And I remember that chain that wrapped around my mind saying I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't good enough, I couldn't do it. I are a college graduate, and that and a dollar. Actually, I bought a cup of coffee for a nickel at Seaside, South Carolina, there on the beach, in Myrtle Beach this week, 5 cents. So that and 5 cents got me a cup of coffee in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina this week. But I broke through a chain, a limitation. First one on my father's side of the family. First one on my father's side of the family to get a college degree. Broke through. A limitation, a mindset. I couldn't do it. I wasn't good enough. See, I don't care what the label is. I don't care what the doctors have said or your mother or anybody else. Today, the potential and the possibility and the power of God is here to set you free. I want you to take that chain. I want you to shake it right now. Because in just a few moments, chains are going to come off in this place. Chains are. It's not about an emotion here. It's not about emotion. But the presence of God, he ran to Jesus. He ran to him. He didn't run from Jesus. Sometimes when we have a sin or a problem that we just keep messing up on and keep stumbling on, we just like, oh, I can't. I tried that. I did that. I went to the altar. And then we turn and go the other way. and we think that there's another door. We think that there's another way that we can fix it. And Jesus said, come on to me. Come on back, son. Come on back, daughter. I'm here for you. I'm waiting. I am the Father. I am your God who cares about you. I am the God that when you return, I will kill the fatted calf, and I will place upon you the best robe, and I will give you the ring of authority and power. I just want you to come back. Come back to me. Oh, come unto me, all ye that are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You see, God is here today. This man ran to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he had to make a decision. He had to make a decision. And I've watched people year after year. I've been doing this 20 years. I watch this 20 years. Watch people hear, listen, and walk away. But I've seen other people hear, listen, and say, yes, I want that freedom. I watched a 16-year-old boy smoking pot every day last year walk down the aisles of this church and lay his stuff right here on this stage and say, I want Jesus. He was here in the, I don't know if he's in this service or not, Nicholas, right over here, laid it down, said, I want Jesus. I want that mindset broken, that I look and see where that's leading everybody else. That takes me down a pathway of death and destruction. You see, but sometimes, well, we don't do that. You know, we're not, that's not our problem. But God's speaking to you about a chain that's around your neck. You see, this man ran to Jesus. Was it easy? No, but look what happens here in verse number 7. And with the cry, he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus? You see, there was an internal struggle. Don't kid yourself. When you come to Jesus, it ain't like a magic pill. It ain't like you pop a little pill, a little dab of do you, somebody whack you on top of the head and bam, shazam, it's all over. No, 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 no. You see, because there's a struggle. There's a battle going on in every one of us. And part of us wants to take this chain off. Part of us is crying, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then God rises up on the inside of Paul, and he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, or anything in this life will separate me from the love of my Father. For thanks be unto God who causes me to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. You see, chains came off because he did something. He ran to Jesus. Jesus was passing his way. He ran to him, and the Bible says that he began to worship. He began to worship. And as he began to worship, the master spoke, come out of him. And see, right now, in the presence of God in this room, whether you believe me or not, whether you believe me or not, the presence of God is here. And there's somebody. There's someone, if there's just one today that's hearing this message, and that chain falls off because you become a worshiper. You see, the psalmist David knew it. He understood this. That's why he said, come and let's kneel down and bow before our God, our Maker. Let us worship him. Mary cried out when she heard the angel say that she was going to carry the child who would be the Savior of the world, the deliverer of the world, the victory, the potential, and the possibility for every person on the planet, first starting with the Jew and then to the Gentile. She said, my soul does magnify within me. Oh, she began to worship God. She began to worship God. Driving down the road this week, frustrated, irritated with myself, thinking wrong, I said, oh God, I worship you. See, it's not always easy. We call it a sacrifice of praise because sometimes to lift your voice to God is a sacrifice. You see, when you begin to worship and you don't feel like it, that's when the potential and the power for Jesus to speak over your life is the greatest. Because when you are weak, he becomes strong. He's our God. No more excuses today. The presence of God is here. The presence of God is here. A guy by the name of Greg, he wrote this poem. He said, break the chains I've forged, dear Father, by routines of fear and greed. I'm weary of bondage as a prisoner of my needs. Set me free, I pray. Release me. Break the chains I've forged, I plead. Break the chains I've forged, dear Father, as I sought my willful way. I've become detached from Christmas. Reds and greens have blurred to gray. Change my heart, I pray. Renew me. Break the chains I've forged today. Break the chains I forged, dear Father, through unkind and mindless deeds. Patterns that I formed prevent me from the freedom you decreed. Come, O God, I pray, free me. Break the chains I forged, I plead. In your hand you have a chain. We used to sing this song, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty. This is something that happens when you begin to worship God. In his presence, the Bible says there's fullness of joy. In his presence, there's victory. Moses knew it. Moses said, God, I'm not going to take one step unless your presence goes before me and consumes all my enemies. David, who lived 3,500 years ago, when the giant of opposition came against him, who was literally 10 feet tall, David stood in the face of that giant, in the face of an impossibility, when everyone else around him cowered, everyone else around him shrank back, everyone else around him was full of fear and said it couldn't be done. David looked at that Goliath and said, the Lord who delivered me from the mouth of a lion, the God who used my hands to tear a bear apart, Goliath, he's going to bring you down this day. And at the end of the day, David not only brought him down, but he lifted his head for all to see. You see, he's your God. He's your God. And the chains that have held you back, whatever your limitation, you're holding them in your hand right now. You're holding this hand and you're looking at it. And you're going to tell this chain, be gone. Because see, you're going to begin to speak what Jesus is speaking. He's already spoken. He's already made it possible. The possibility for you to be free from that chain and that limitation is yours. It's already been made. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's called the cross. And when you stand, you're going to take that chain and you're just going to drop it. And you're going to lift your hands and you're going to begin to worship the King.
Thanks for listening to this message, Breaking the Christmas Chains with Lead Pastor Eugene Smith. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.org or call 407-321-9600.